Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Cause they giving you the latest on everything on your playlist. This bet the safest from basements to greatness. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ram. Might think you fly, but ain't nice as my guys. Got eyes on the prize. So like and subscribe. We back in the booth. I think that they gon' eat this up. The ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain. We have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the
bang. What is up, my pizza? It's Corey Vincent here. Video Game Bang is back, and welcome to episode 600. Part 2, Electric Boogaloo. Last episode went long. I think we went twice as long as a typical episode of Video Game Bang because there was so much intense conversation going on around this IGN bracket for the best video game of all time. So much so, we just got to continue it on into a part 2. So let's get this thing going with, first of all, returning back to the Video Game Bang, the Game Her Award nominee herself, Lexi. What's going on? Welcome back.
Thank you. You know, we're just chilling and working and grinding still, but thank you for that shout out there. Yeah, you guys go vote for me. Actually, I was nominated for two different categories. So it was for social and community. So, and it's under the marketing category if you're looking. But also, I heard a little birdie told me something about someone else here who was nominated or their job. So I guess we'll get into that next. But Corey can.
You're right. You're right, everybody. I have been nominated for a Game Her Award. Absolutely not true. I'm not. But I was voting because one of my social media managers for the San Francisco Shock was also nominated, and I was going through, and I was just going through all the categories, seeing if I had any homies, voting for the homies, and then of course I see your name pop through, and you didn't tell me about this beforehand. I had no idea, but I squealed.
I had no idea.
I squealed with excitement and gave you my vote without even thinking twice. So I'm excited, proud of you. It's exciting. I hope you do well. What's it mean to you to get kind of nominated for that, to get recognized for your hard work?
It meant a lot. Like, I randomly, it was so funny. Like, I was just like sitting there working as usual. And one of my coworkers actually, like during a Zoom call, was like, yeah, you guys go nominate, or vote for Alexi and all this stuff. And I was like, wait, what? So then I went over to the page and saw that the nominees were, you know, announced. So I was like, oh. So yeah, like it's humbling, and I truly appreciate it for everyone who nominated me for this. So we'll see. So I tried to, like, I was very humble. Like, I didn't really put it out there at first, and then after that call, everyone started pinging me on my Slack and was like, come on, like, you need to post it. So I posted it on Twitter and LinkedIn and like everywhere. Nice. I could, Instagram, wherever.
That's big.
So, but no, thank you to everybody who has voted. If you haven't, I would love it if you voted for me, but, you know, I would appreciate it. So thank you. And thank you, Corey, for the shout out. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, welcome back. Glad to have you. Kyle, the winner. How you doing? You, Harmonix is up on the board, too, for Game Her Awards. Let us know about that. Who do we vote for?
Yeah, so we got Harmonix and Fuser up for Most Inclusive Studio, and I think Most Inclusive Game, which is super awesome to see. I know a lot of the people who worked on Fuser tried very hard to try to make it as inclusive to as many people as humanly possible. And it's good to see, you know, that getting recognized. So if you're voting, might as well throw one of those in there as well. It does feel a bit weird for me to, like, yeah, vote for us. I'm like, it's not me, though. I didn't work on Fuser.
Yeah.
But it is cool to, like, I guess I'm more or less amplifying those people on my team and the studio who did work on that. And vote for them because they are awesome people and they have tried very, very hard for a long time to get that game, to try to make it as inclusive as possible. So
yeah, when you're part of a team and you meet those people and you get those connections and you see how, you know, just being nominated can affect them, of course you want to root for them and make sure, you know, that happens. So it's so totally natural. You don't have to feel any kind of way about that. And then also joining us, fourth person on the panel, Jada. What's going on, Jada? Tell me you went back to IGN and told them, like, hey, we need to restart this bracket because it's clearly been a little bit scuffed so far. Any progress there?
No progress. I have been shouting into the void to bring back Ocarina of Time in a a fantasy like wild card grab after it lost to Skyrim. I thought it would win, but I forgot that I hadn't taken into account all the Instagram and YouTube votes.
I know. We got a little egg on our face. We should go back and say, was there any other ones that we got wrong? Because we were going strictly off of Twitter, but what IGN was doing was taking Twitter, Instagram, and
YouTube.
So we didn't take those into account. So some of the closer races, I think we were wrong about, including the Zelda Ocarina of Time. Unfortunately, your tweet at the last minute did not do enough work to turn the tide. So were there any other ones we were wrong on?
I was looking through that. I think for the most part, everything else in that first round that we had, that Twitter, wherever Twitter was leading, for the most part won. There was one that was different. Burnout Takedown took down Chrono Trigger. Burnout 3 got its takedown on and took out Chrono Trigger. So that one lost. GoldenEye got bodied way worse than we thought it had by Modern Warfare 4.
Did anybody reach out?
Not understanding where they came from.
Right?
Did anybody reach out to Special Cases in our Discord chat? Because before listening to the last week's episode, just seeing the premise of best video game of all time, Special Cases, was sure to tag us all on Twitter and make sure that Chrono Trigger was a massive part of our conversation. Oh, well, I'm sorry. It got beat down now by Burnout of all games. That's even more embarrassing than Overwatch losing to BioShock, in my opinion.
I agree. Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Smash Brothers beat Super Mario World. I think that one was a close one.
Yeah.
But that one ended up going 60-40. Other than that, Arkham City ended up overtaking Super Mario 64.
What?
Metroid Prime a previous thing? Because that's a close one, and it's very surprising too. Metroid Prime ended up beating Hades. I thought Hades had that one in the bag. Maybe I missed out.
No, that was another one that flip-flopped, was Hades over Metroid Prime, as well as a couple other ones that flip-flopped. Rise of the Tomb Raider ended up taking out Half-Life 2, which surprised the hell out of me. That was crazy. Apex Legends ended up besting Super Metroid. So instead of what we originally thought Super Metroid was going to carry on the legacy, now it's Metroid Prime is actually carrying on
all
the hopes,
good.
In the bracket. At least it was. It's already eliminated.
We're going to go through. But... no spoilers. You're giving spoilers already. We're going to go through there and give an update because we're going to do this the right way. I don't know how you do things over there in IGN. Clearly, you know, there's a little bit of disorganization, chaos going on. We're going to get through this. However, we should start with a little bit of topical video game news because there is a new big title that just came out and two of us on the panel here have been experiencing it. And I'm on the fence. We're talking about Deathloop. So Deathloop was announced.
Get you off that fence, buddy.
Jump the fence? Is it time? Is it a clear-cut decision?
Hop over it.
Okay, give us the breakdown. Let's start with Jada. How many hours you got in the game and what are your thoughts so far?
Looking at my Steam profile, it says I am currently at 47 hours into Deathloop.
Wow. Okay.
I have yet to break the loop. I could have probably broken it within on any attempt in the last 5 or 6 hours, I'd say. There's so much good background information and lore and side quests and puzzles and riddles that I want to know more about the story. So I've been foregoing breaking the loop and searching out just to find these things. And sometimes the the rewards are really minuscule, but sometimes they're a cool gun or other things. Or some really cool backstory lore.
You're overestimating my intelligence, and I think the intelligence of the average VGB fan. What does breaking the loop mean? And what? So my understanding was this: this game had like a storyline, but then you can have another player with their own storyline, and you guys are fighting each other in the middle. Like, explain this game at a base level.
I
don't know.
Basically, no, it's totally fine. I was looking at Kyle because I was like, oh, Kyle was like, he had something.
I have a very quick,
go for it. Please,
explain like I'm five.
It's Groundhog Day with guns in a lot of ways. As well, it's like Groundhog Day meets Dishonored in that, like, you have a list of people you have to kill, and like, I'm trying to not get any too deep into spoily stuff here. But it is fundamentally around the idea of repeating the same day over and over and over, and figuring out more about the loop each time you restart. And so one of the ways that they found a really good way to like do that without making it super like tedious or monotonous. And so there's different places you can go visit at different times of the day to try to like see what is different at what point in time. And so obviously because of that, you won't ever visit the same place, the same circumstances for quite a number of cycles. And then eventually you start to learn and figure it out and discover more stuff as it goes on. But you can keep, you like find some ways to like keep certain items over the loops. And they try to, you know, they do a really good job to make it not feel like you're doing the same thing over and over and over, and it's like tedious or obnoxious or anything.
That's what I was saying. Groundhog's Day doesn't sound like a fun mechanic for a video game. So are you playing against a different person each time? Where does the PvP element come into this?
So there's, you know, all the eight what are called visionaries that you have to hunt down. Those are all AI controlled. However, the female protagonist, Juliana, who you've seen in all the trailers and stuff, who's hunting Colt, the protagonist who you're playing as. She will pop into your game randomly. If, you know, most of the time it'll be an AI taking over and just, you know, jumping you at a random time. I actually got spawn camped by the first AI one, which was ridiculous. but that is where the PvP comes in. Your friends on your friend list or other randos online, if your game is set to online mode a la Dark Souls style, can randomly show up into your world provided you meet certain conditions. Like, it has to be, you have to spawn in, I think, in the first like 3 to 5 minutes of the mission. The target that you're hunting, the visionary in that quest, has to still be alive. So that means like basically PvP players can't come in right after you've just like finish going through 100 people and killing the boss, and then you're like,
wreck your shit.
And while you're trying to escape, and then she just shows up and, you know, headshots you with the sniper rifle that you didn't know where to look at where she's coming
from.
Got
it. Okay.
So it gives the player a lot of chances. You also get there's a revive mechanic, so you get multiple chances. So it's not she kills you once and you're just screwed. You have multiple tries, whereas she only has the one life when she comes in. So
with this information, you were saying break the loop. What does break the loop mean? Does that mean beat the game?
Yes. So okay. Basically, after you, like Kyle said, there's areas you can go through at certain times a day, and you have four times a day. You have morning, noon, afternoon, and evening. And after you finish that, all four of those sections, you revert back to it loops back to the very beginning, the morning of the first day. So in order to break that loop, you have to, I won't go into spoilers on how you break the loop, but you have to do certain things in order to break it and see the end game, end of the story and such.
Okay. Okay. And now, why should we get this game? Who is this game made for? Who would you recommend get this game, Kyle?
I would say it's for anyone who enjoys, like, good single-player first-person shooters. If you enjoyed most of the major RPGs, any Dishonored game, any of just, like, the first-person, like, action-adventure-y games as well, it satisfies a lot of that. It's got really good shooting mechanics and stuff, which is really nice. Like, it feels smooth. The guns are great. The design of them, the sounds of them, the feel of them, the aiming, part is all really, really good.
Yeah, this is made by Arkane. So these are the guys who made Dishonored, Prey, what else? What other games did Arcane do? They did another big series, but those are, you know, if you like that kind of action stealth where you can go loud if you want, but deal with, you know, 10 times more enemies and survive, totally fine. If you want to be, you know, sneak around and, you know, blink around like you could in Dishonored, you can totally do that. It really satisfies a lot of that. And like Kyle was saying, like those kind of point click adventures, there's a lot of like puzzles and you'll find notes scattered throughout the world and it'll add it to like your log, your game log, and you keep that information. That information persists through your loops. So if you solve a puzzle to find a code to a safe, once you've done that, you can just go to the safe at the very beginning of the next loop and type in the code and open it, and it'll do it automatically for you. So that's how it removes a lot of the tediousness of it.
Yeah, and one thing I gotta give, like, credit to, massive credit, is obviously the writing and voice acting in the game is phenomenal. Both the protagonist and antagonist, or both protagonists, depending on how you look at it, are incredibly well written and both, like, voiced incredibly, like, charismatically in different ways. And so, like, when you start out as Colt, you kind of narrate, like, the way the character's narrated to you, it kind of helps you, like, along this path, so you're discovering the game as the main character is, and so that helps, as well as they have, like, this great, you know, virtual text in the game, that will help kind of lead you along places and kind of hold your hand up to a certain amount, which is really nice. Like, it's a really busy game, and there's a lot of mechanics, there's a lot of stuff happening, but I never felt like I'm like, oh my god, there's too much to handle, like, I don't know what the hell's going on, like certain games where you're like, like when you open the skill tree for Path of Exile, you're like, this is too much, I am overwhelmed. Like, you never get that. They kind of lead you along really, really well, and like the music is so good, the sound design is so good, the writing, the production design, like the world is really, really cool. And so it's just every different element of this was like basically a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, they throw a lot at you in the first hour. That very first hour, they throw a lot of stuff at you. And that's probably the most overwhelming moment of the game, is that first hour. But once you get through that first hour, you start to understand, like, oh, OK, I get this mechanic, and I get this element, and just like, I don't need to worry about this right now. This will come into play later. There's a really good option for keeping you on track of what you want to do. It's kind of like, think you have a board, kind of like a Beautiful Mind kind of thing. Like, you know, anytime you look at these police procedurals and there's all these like strings going to places, like this person links to this via this and this does this. It's kind of like that, but it's a much more organized.
Pepe Sylvia, you know?
What are you guys playing it on? And where is this, like a full $59.99 game currently? Is there going to be DLC? Where do we sit on that?
I'm playing on PC currently because it's a PC PS5 exclusive right now. It'll be dropping on Xbox, I think, in like 6 to 9 months or a year. I can't remember what the time frame is.
Probably have an exclusivity deal for probably no more than a year.
Yeah.
So is this Steam or Epic Game Store or both?
Didn't check.
For sure, Steam. I don't know about Epic.
Yeah, I haven't checked the Epic Store to see if it was there. And no tale of DLC as of right now. I don't know how it would really fit in, other than maybe if they did like a extra story down the road for Juliana, to where you kind of get more story stuff from her. I could see that maybe, because there's a lot of backstory stuff I've been digging up on her as I play through, as well as Colt. Because the multiplayer is kind of, it gives you a little bit of context about her, but I haven't done a lot of that. I kind of loaded in, did the tutorial for her, and then I haven't invaded somebody else's because it seemed like the queue times were way too long, because none of my friends on Steam had their games open, so.
Cowards. That's what it is. Cowardice.
Yep, exactly. I agree.
So two of us have not played this game. Lexi, what are you thinking so far of all this that you've heard of the game? Is it enough to move you? Are you going to be picking this game up this week?
I for sure thought it was an interesting concept. At first, I didn't know, like, at first I thought it was just like, they're like in this death loop, and then eventually like they're like trying to, I don't know, I didn't know it was what it, like how you guys explained it at first, like I didn't realize it was the way it was. For some reason I thought like you were just in this death loop. And so it was basically like
dying over.
You just thought it was a game where you load in and you die and then you reload.
But no, I thought that each time you died, it was a different decision type thing. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's what I assumed, because from the trailer, even at the start, I was like, oh, it's cool. Like it caught me, but I just didn't know like the whole concept. And I kind of wanted to like find out more. And so from y'all, like, explaining it how it is, like that makes more sense. Like, I mean, and I mean, somebody might make my version of what we're talking about too one day, but don't steal my IP, please. But like, I thought that was really cool. So, I mean, I'm interested in playing it. Like, I wouldn't mind trying it. It's very intriguing, but yeah, like, it captured me.
I think overall, from what I'm hearing, the PvP element of it isn't as at the forefront as I had originally anticipated. I was thinking this is going to be a fun PvP type of thing where it was going to be more about trying to dunk on my friends than actually like go through a story, which I think I'm okay with now. I think it's, I think now I kind of got an understanding. I do kind of want to try it, but I'm really into like what time I do have now. I'm into Borderlands 3, obviously playing with Jada here. So you think it's worth taking away
when you're?
Go ahead.
I would say it'll fill that void for sure of that like kind of going and kind of messing. It's obviously not as like co-op, which is unfortunate. But it does fill that void of like playing a single player shootery game that I've been, you know, going through.
It's a really good story, yeah.
It's got really, really good story and world building. And it's like a very immersive environment, which I really like. So I would definitely recommend it to anyone who hasn't played it. So long as you're like not looking for a hardcore competitive PvP shooter, it's not that. It's definitely more of a single player game with the option, like it's like a side possibility that you can do PvP stuff.
I think where I'm sitting at is I'm going to be one of those bargain hunters. I'll get this game when it goes on sale. I think when there's like a high level of PvP, if it was that PvP thing and I was worried that you guys that was the key element and that you guys would stop playing in 3 weeks and then I would get the game and then there'd be no one to play with. But seeing that it is more of like a solo experience, I personally think I'll wait till this game hits like $29.99 and then your boy we'll be all over it.
Verdict for you or whatnot, based on like just me knowing you and your game style. I think that's probably the right choice for you. I will say that for the PvP, if you've got a good group of friends and you're all picking it up, it could be a lot of fun if you're all playing, you know, simultaneously and just constantly jumping into each other's worlds. Like, I think this could really pick up stream-wise.
Mm.
I haven't followed it on Twitch to see how well it's been doing, but I can imagine
I've
if
you've
got a...
I've been avoiding it.
Yeah, I think if you've got a... especially because a lot of the joy out of this game comes from solving those mysteries on your own. And there's some really, like, deeply hidden, like, secrets. Like, I got one. It was like, this dude left on a boat in the morning. He's heading for this area, but it doesn't tell you what time he's heading to, which zone, or where. It tells you where he's going, but it doesn't tell you what time he's going. So you just know he's not going to be where he needs to be in the morning. You got to figure out where does he land and which, you know, where in this map at what time do I need to be there? So, which I just finally solved this morning. So, but yeah, it's like, it's one of those things. And that's one of those clues I've had since like, I don't know, 20 hours in. And I'm just now starting to figure out like, oh, okay, I can kind of start messing around and digging into this stuff now. So, but I think that's the right choice.
I saw one of my friends playing it earlier. Like, they put a clip on Twitter, and I was like interested to know from you guys, like, have you guys played it together in that PvP style? Because basically, to them, they like love the fact that, like, he was like, sorry, not sorry, but I killed one of you. You know, like, you guys dropped into my game or whatever the case is. Like, from your perspective, have you got a chance to like really dive into that, and like, do you like that?
I haven't had anybody invade my world other than the AI. Unfortunately, my game's been wide open, but nobody's coming for the queen. Which is
and it's
just
only
fine.
Your friends, right?
You're really trying to get me to get this game, aren't you? You're really trying to talk me into picking this game up now because I love crushing dreams.
There's an option when you go to queue up. You can queue up to join to like target a friend or queue up to target a rando. So you get to choose. And also, I do want to give a shout out. Drew and the TARDIS nailed it. There's also very big Majora's Mask elements to the game where people are in the same spot at certain times of days and you can manipulate them by doing certain things.
Got to give a shout out in the chat, Robellion X, for subscribing to the podcast. Thank you so much for that Twitch Prime. Let's go. That's how we keep the lights on. That's how we keep the studio lights on. I had a question. I want to talk to you guys real quick. We all are older folk, besides maybe Kyle. And, you know, most of us remember G4 television. Kyle, were you a G4 TV guy, or was it just showing
lightly
cops and stuff?
I remember watching a couple of shows here and there that were really cool. I think I've watched, was it Jeep? What was it called? I can't remember. I think it was the Morgan Webb and Adam Sessler show, whatever one that was.
X-Play.
I watched that.
The Attack of the Show?
Yeah, Attack of the Show was the other big one. Curious what you guys think, because, you know, they kind of had their big relaunch recently, signed a whole bunch of new talent. I don't know if they're on syndicated television yet. I haven't seen it or anybody talking about it, but I came across a recommended video on YouTube the other day, and it was Adam Sessler breaking down Deathloop, doing like one of his old X-Play reviews. It's called X-Play. Video's been out for 5 days and only had 60,000 views on it. So I was like, that's kind of low for how, you know, much we all love G4 and Adam Sessler and X-Play. And I started watching it and I kind of got a little bored halfway through, not going to lie, so I stopped watching. And then I just started digging in, and like a lot of their videos and stuff, they're producing tons of content with the biggest names in gaming and esports, but they're having trouble cracking 100K per video. Why do you think that is?
I personally think like the G4 audience is like us, right? It's the people who grew up on it. And because I did the same thing, Corey, I was like, I've been monitoring, even though I don't even, you know, I've been monitoring their stuff and like checking it out and stuff. And I'm like, oh, they're creating all this content. Like, why? The same question you had. Why isn't it performing? Like, I feel like it's because we're the older, like, demographic that, okay, we watched it, we like it. And then it was like, all of a sudden, G4's back. And we're like, yeah, we're ready for it. But now it's like,
nobody's watching. Why aren't we watching it?
Yeah, like, they're trying to, like, have that mix of, like, okay, we'll keep some of the old stuff, but also cater to some of the younger audience. And I feel like they need to, like, rebrand it in a different way, because now the younger audience might be getting bored, and then we're getting bored because it's the same stuff, and we're thinking that they're going to have a fresher look, where it's just, like, oh, let's, like, I think the other day I saw them do, like, a video, and it was, like, the old school, like picture day type thing. I was like, oh, that's cool, but it was very cringy to me. Like, it was super
Oh,
cringy.
I know which one you're talking about. Was it the one that was like dating profiles, kind of, and they're talking about
I felt like it could have been done better, but it was like really like I felt kind of weird watching it, like, you know what I mean? Like, and I was like, this isn't what I'm used to like watching. So if I'm not used to it, and like I like G4 back in the day, like, I know our older demographic won't like it, and the younger demographic is going to be like, what is this? Because they don't even know the reference.
Yeah, Kevin Pereira pop up in that video was kind of weird because, you know, I have respect for what he did back then, but seeing him throw down with the youngsters, it just didn't hit me the right way either. What do you think, Kyle and Jade? Have you been, like, keeping tabs on the new G4? And why do you think it's not blowing up like it should?
I think it's weird because obviously, like, I don't know, like, it obviously the landscape has changed so drastically since it was around initially. Like, this was pre-major internet era. Like, obviously the internet did exist and a lot of us were on it doing stuff here and there, but like, I don't remember that I had like a good internet. Like I was on dial up for a hot minute, so I was still watching games TV and having that, you know, playing games on the, you know, on the Xbox, the original Xbox. And that was kind of that era for me. But that was, you know, decades ago at this point in time, and the landscape has changed so drastically towards less about large collectives of people, like the, you know, your machinimas was early on, but it was a large group of people doing stuff. Now it's all about individuals for the most part. Like, it's about one person doing their own content. You watch one person to see what their review is on a game, usually, and kind of get their takes on it. And it's now they're trying to utilize this older format, which I think is obviously not resonating with a bunch of young people because they are grown up on the individual, and you know, seeing one person be their source for a thing, having it be a more official and like larger, I guess, syndicated group of people, it just doesn't hit the same. And I think all of us had kind of found a way to, like, we've found other places since then, and I think it's maybe eventually you kind of like brute force, like we're just going to be around the longest doing stuff, but like we've kind of all moved to our own individual places. I think of like that where it, we get
that's
news and yeah. reviews and stuff.
Leave
from.
It to Kyle the Winner to come up, hit yep. it with from downtown. Before we get to Jada's take, because I definitely want to hear it, I got to thank Galen, the G Gamer, in the chat for giving us a bunch of biddies. And then also, we got a couple new follows, Dr. Owentron and Rob Bellion, chilling in the chat. So thank you guys for that. Jada, what's your take? You're in the game. You know, these Twitter numbers yeah. they got aren't popping. That video that that Lexi mentioned, I went back just to kind of see. You know, it's got their biggest names. It's, you know, comedy-ish. And only 56K views, you know, 1.1K likes. Like, it's not popping off.
So, you know, it's one of the things I'm looking at their channel. I was seeing what you're saying, like their video views are really low for some of these things. That some of them, you know, they've been out for a while, even so. Their subscriber count is really low. So like that, I think that's a big part of it. Their subscribers are pretty low. They're, you know, each of their like Attack of the Show, X Play, those are only 100K. G4 TVs as a whole is only 400K. So, like, it's growing, which is good.
Hold on, Jada. We can't all have 15 million, okay? IGN over there. This is.
I get it. No.
Okay.
But the thing is I think that's the part of the thing is I think a lot of IGN's following came from the time. IGN came in and filled the gap when G4 turned into Cops. And I forget what other shows they had on there that were just terrible that ruined the network. Yeah.
Cheaters. American Ninja Warrior. Yeah.
The American Ninja Warrior was fine. Like, I feel like that was a good like addition for like for branching out. But as soon as they went Cops and Cheaters, they ruined the network.
Yeah.
But because I have a player in one of my D&D games that actually worked at G4 and saw the downfall and everything like that, which was it was crazy to hear some of the stories. But it's like Kyle was saying, like, we've all found these other places to find our news, you know, and social media is such a bigger thing now with Twitter. Like, it's, you know, even if you don't follow one of the big IGN, GameSpot, Polygon, Kotaku, any of those ones, you know, you get a lot of news from Twitter, what's trending. There's Twitch where people are just constantly connected and tuned into things. It's not as much of a staple. Like, back in the day, G4 was our only real option for gaming news. Mm. You know what I mean? You had G4 TV and you had gaming magazines. That was it during our time. And so G4, what they did back then was, you know, it was, like, world-breaking. Like, you know, it was really captivating the whole world. I'm not going to lie. The last thing I watched, I did watch some G4 videos, like, I think literally this week, but had nothing to do with anything that they've currently produced or recently, like, created. I went back and watched the Splinter Cell co-op theater. I don't know if you remember that series. It was, like, a 6-episode part of Splinter Cell Chaos Theory, and they had Secret Agents Bob, Special Agent Bob and Secret Agent Steve, and they're just the most incompetent spies, and it was just hilarious, and I laughed my ass off back in the day. Like, and I still did to this day with that because I still love that the bits and writing they did there. So I've got to go and look and watch some of their recent stuff to see if where the quality level falls for me as well. But I think also they're trying to figure out what works for them in this new landscape. I think they're still at the experimental phase. I just hope that like budgeting and the finances are still there to keep them alive for the next, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Because I think it's going to take that much time for them to really spin up. Unless they do something amazing, like crazy viral, I don't see like this trend changing anywhere, anytime soon, any fast at least.
Yeah, I think it's a case of where you...
I think that's two things to your point, Jada, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, so, first of all, I would like to see, or I would have liked to see G4, like, maybe like collab with, for example, IGN, like that kind of partnership where it's like we're bringing them back, but like we're collabing with somebody else to make it great. That was one of my things. Like, or either like have more popular, like not
streamers, and,
streamers and stuff that are more, because, okay, when I looked at the people who are on their roster list of people, like who are, I guess, the hosts and stuff, like I know a hand, like maybe two. Like I don't even know most of these people. And I guess maybe the younger generation might. Like I know the girl from League of Legends only because I play League of Legends and seen her work. I know the guy from WWE because I'm in that space. But other than that, and I know one other guy, but I don't remember his name, only because I've seen him in passing and he's pretty popular. Other than that, I'm like, who are all these other people? Like, I feel like they should have, like, maybe pulled in more of, I mean, I'm just going to throw this out here, like, Valkyrie or, like, Ninja. I'm just, like, random names. You know, like, people that people are actually watching, like, in the current space to make it that bigger. Because then they would have those bigger views and stuff. Because right now, I feel like, yeah, these people are great, but, like, I don't know them. Like,
I think the tricky part is like, you know, like I know Xavier Woods from New Day or whatnot, because I've met him on multiple occasions through events and stuff like that. And I know, you know, Golden Boy from Overwatch, you know, streams, like that's, you know, shoutcasting and stuff like that. But that's pretty much it. That's the only people I recognize minus the old schools, obviously, you know, the Adam Sessler and, you know, Kevin Pereira and stuff like that. Like, I recognize those
people. We know them, like, but does the young kids know who they are,
but
you know?
They don't, and I think that, you know, the, like, if they don't have Jeff Keighley coming on there doing stuff, because Jeff Keighley's the only one, really, realistically, out of everybody from G4, he's the only one who's been active constantly doing stuff since the G4 days.
Yeah, so. I think, and he's done his own thing as well, and I think he's maintained his own brand and done something that I think we didn't quite have, like... That was the one thing, which they didn't even do on G4. I think it was Spike who did the original, like, video game awards, which I remember very vividly being a thing. That was, like, the one thing that we didn't have, like, a general, like, all of video gaming kind of awards. We had a bunch of people trying to do a bunch of different things at a bunch of different times. But, like, there's only one Grammys, there's only one Oscars, and so, like, the Game Awards is kind of... filling that void of, like, that's probably, like, the most reputable of all of the game awards that we have currently, that I've seen, at least. And so I think that that's, it doesn't surprise me, but, like, he's kind of filled that own void because that was not a thing that we had yet. But we have plenty of different, like, here's what's going on in games. There's how many different game journals, you know, news sites that have their own content, as well as the individuals that have their own content as well. That also, like, they have bigger channels than G4, obviously, because they it's just them themselves. Like I mentioned, with it's more about the individual than the group at the moment.
Yeah.
And so obviously, like, I wouldn't forsake my massive channel to go join a smaller one. Obviously for collabs it's more open, but like I don't think,
but no,
I can't imagine any of these massive
people. I think
and you give up freedom too, you know, you lose control and stuff like that when you join this. Go ahead, Corey.
You're your own producer, writer, editor, streamer. You're doing it all yourself, so you don't have to go through approvals and writing, you know, writer's room, all that. You just kind of
do what you want.
I definitely want to see it succeed because I genuinely like the people they have involved with it. Like people like Golden Boy, Levy, May, all those people are really, really talented. Adam Sessler too. Like they're all great. I want to see it succeed.
You never want to see good people fail.
Yeah. And I don't think they're doing anything necessarily wrong yet, except that the one mistake that I think they could fall into is maybe not adjusting quick enough. Like, you know, I'm going through their YouTube and seeing all these X plays with not very many views. It's time to change it up, Sess. Like, I know that's what you did, but maybe you got to put a different spin on it. Put a different co-pilot with you. Try, you know, different stuff. I started looking into like other kind of big collabs like that. Like, I remember Geek and Sundry was a big one back in the day. You took all these powerhouses, put them together, but not every show worked. But they did a good job kind of adapting, cycling through other ones, and then you have a Critical Role, and, you know, and then that ends up outgrowing the brand. So, you know, there's tons of potential for, especially with all these extremely talented people, to hit that gold, whatever it is. They have the talent. Now I think they just got to make sure they keep it up. And I think, you know, it's up for us too, listening to this. It's not like it's poor content or bad. You know, it's out there. You know, we should try and support it a little bit more. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. I'm looking forward to keeping up on this one, though. Just something I followed. And I know everybody in here is kind of connected to the industry and wanted to hear what you guys thought. So thank you for humoring me during that path. But we got to get back to what's really important. The whole reason that we were summoned here today is to go through and give everybody an update to the best video game of all time bracket, brought to you by IGN, sponsored by Hulu, hashtag Hulu partner. We got some updates to do because some stuff has happened. Let's just start. You know, we're in the Sweet 16. We're going to go through those and talk about who they beat to get there, and if it was like super controversial, we'll chat about it for a second, but I don't want to dwell on the past too much. Let's start with the current one right now, which is GTA San Andreas, which ended up beating Red Dead Redemption and Borderlands 2 to get there. So yeah, that was a little Rockstar on Rockstar action to get there. And then the other one is Fallout New Vegas, which beat Knights of the Old Republic.
And, both extremely close.
Yeah, super close.
San Andreas won by 51. Same with Fallout New Vegas over KOTOR, which is both wild. What I find it most interesting is that both are like fighting their counterparts in a lot of ways. Like in terms of like single player narrative based RPGs, like KOTOR and New Vegas are like kind of the main, like they're some of the biggest names you mentioned. And then same with like story based action adventure-y,
open world driving based sandbox game.
Yeah, open world sandbox. Red Dead and GTA are both like massive. So that's always kind of fun to see. Like it's not apples to oranges. It is very, very similar.
I'm a little disappointed. I'm going to admit Fallout New Vegas beat Knights of the Old Republic. I'm just going to say, I think they're both fine games, but still, I think KOTOR should have won. But it didn't. Whatever. Super razor thin margin, 51% to 49%. Here we are, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas versus Fallout Vegas. I have to give this one to, I would say Fallout Vegas, but I think San Andreas is going to win. What do you think, Jada?
Was going to say the same thing. I would like Fallout New Vegas. I think it is one of the best open world RPG sandbox games that they've made, that's been made. But San Andreas has just been, you know, such a big, huge part of the culture for gaming that I think it's San Andreas is going to run away with it. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be like a 55-45 split in favor of San Andreas.
Kyle, where are you going?
Yeah, I agree with that too.
Yeah, I think San Andreas wins just based off of it, like, has longer staying power. And, like, I think it, obviously, like, there's a lot of really good memories that people have with New Vegas, but, like, I think San Andreas still, like, just has more core. I think it was the first game of its kind that, like, most people played, and I think that resonates with people. Like, whereas Fallout New Vegas, it is definitively one of the best Fallout games ever, but it looks and feels quite a lot like Fallout 3 before, so it didn't, like, massively changed the landscape as much.
What about you, Minty? Where are you at on this Fallout New Vegas versus San Andreas?
No, I agree. I think Fallout, yes, I would like it to win, but I think San Andreas should get it for sure.
All right, next one in the Sweet 16. We got World of Warcraft taking on Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. World of Warcraft, I think, kind of had a easy bracket considering the audience. Easily dumpstered Fortnite, gets into the next round. Burnout 3, come on, which shouldn't have made it past the first round. It beat Chrono Trigger somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know how that
Burnout happened. 3, Burnout 3 was the best of the Burnout series, and people have been clamoring for Burnout to come back, like, nonstop, but EA is just like, no thank you, for some reason.
I think it seems like the world has enough racing games. I don't know, like, there's not, like, a ton of different variety between one to another, so, like, what's a new one coming back gonna do? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe I'm underestimating the fan base.
World of Warcraft, someone likes them, put them favorably in the bracket, but now their time may be up because they're battling against Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, which just beat Dishonored in the second round to get where it's at. I don't know. The IGN audience can be fickle, and this seems like two games that are perfect in that age range to have like a really good showdown. Jada, you being the IGN community specialist, you probably have the most insight here. What do you think is going to happen when Warcraft battles Call of Duty 4?
I think this is going to be one of those razor thin margins between the two of them, because you've got a lot of, you know, WoW fans between playing it back in the day and that are revisiting it for classic. People still playing the current, like, main WoW. I don't even know what you call the original now compared to classic. You just call it WoW, I guess. But at the same time, and while Call of Duty is huge, Call of Duty, like, we were talking about this before the show, like, Call of Duty is such a massive fan base. It's in the top 10 sellers, like, almost every month out of every year. It has, and, you know, even for fans who are more casual to it, you know, I consider myself a casual Call of Duty fan. Like, I'll get in and, you know, rip some heads and, you know, go 30-1, but I can only do that for 2-3 months, and then I'm bored of Call of Duty. Mm. But I would, you know, but I still love Call of Duty 4. It changed the landscape for the modern FPS. So I think, you know, it's got a lot riding on it on that. It's just going to really depend on how people are voting. I think people are, if it's voting as a popularity contest, WoW technically has more concurrent players than Call of Duty. But if you're voting it, people are voting with their brains and, like, what it's done for the impact the game has had to the world, I think Call of Duty Modern Warfare takes it. So, but I think it's gonna be racer than it's gonna be 51-49, and I'm hedging my bets on Call of Duty.
Yeah,
both massively changed the landscape of the genre that they entered into.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, they're both owned by the same company that has equally bad press at the moment, so you don't have like, okay, well, it's not, you know,
it's true.
Activision Blizzard versus I don't know what company is in the hearts good of group. Everyone right now.
Harmonix.
Harmonix. Against Nintendo.
Yeah.
Going up against a Nintendo or something like that. So.
Yeah.
This one's going to be close, but I think what's going to set the difference is because even people who love WoW hate WoW. It's one of those games where if they would have said World of Warcraft, Wrath of the Lich King, I think they would have had better odds if they named like an expansion that everyone loves. Call of Duty fans are the same way in a lot of respects. Like, they always want to complain about the current iteration of the game, but they always hold it to the standard of Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. So I think just from that, you're going to be able to fire up the Call of Duty crowd to vote more fervently than World of Warcraft people who probably lost interest in the game or are playing something else right now anyways, because, you know, the game just hasn't been able to hold their interest more recently. Like, it's one of those games where they had to go back to vanilla and refresh to get people interested again because they were losing people so quickly. So I heard more people talking about the game when they remastered it than ever, you know. So I don't know. That's my take on it. Lexi, before we move on, where are you at on the World of Warcraft versus Call of Duty?
I mean, I feel like, to me, Call of Duty might take it, just because, like, it's Call of Duty, but I feel like I'm kind of torn, like, 50-50, because there is a lot of World of Warcraft fans, including a few of my friends that I know that are hardcore, so I don't know. I'm, like, in the middle.
The next round we got here is God of War versus The Elder Scrolls Skyrim. God of War had to beat Portal 2 to get in its spot, and it didn't just beat Portal 2 by a little bit. It spanked Portal 2.
Smashed it.
So that was kind of surprising.
Even, like, against each other.
This is the best game of all time. Of all time.
Oh, that's true. But, I mean, you put Portal against God of War, like, the start. Like, like give it a little. Like, I
well,
love
Portal. Well, Portal 2 was this. Was this the 32 was in the top 32. Portal 2 beat Sims 3 in the first round, but lost to God of War in the second round.
Okay.
Yeah, God of War bodied like just like decapitated StarCraft.
God of War fans showing
got
up.
Got it.
They're showing up. Actually, it kind of looks like PlayStation fans are showing up if you kind of think about it, because San Andreas was like a PlayStation game. We'll have to keep track on that one. I think The Last of Us beat Smash on the other side of the bracket, so maybe it's just PlayStation fans are really out there voting on these IGN polls. But Skyrim's still in it. It's been ported to every single platform ever since it came out.
Including your fridge.
Yeah, it's a smart refrigerator game. You could probably get it on your cell phone. And it beat Assassin's Creed Black Flag in a closer match, but now it's going against God of War. I would hope Elder Scrolls Skyrim beats God of War. I think Elder Scrolls is like a top four type of game, deserves to be up there in the final. So that's where I'm putting my bets. What about you guys?
I agree. It does. It could, you know, it does deserve to be in a top four, but God of War deserves to be in a top two. So by that math, God of War should go ahead.
You think God of War is a top two video game of all time?
Hell yeah.
I can't tell if you're trolling.
Gameplay, I'm not. The story, the gameplay, the evolution of the formula, like everything about God of War, it kind of set the landmark for the last generation of consoles, the PS4, Xbox One console generations. God of War is one of those like top, like gold standard games for that entire generation. And that's kind of what people are, you know, playing right now. There are people playing God of War. God of War 2, Ragnarok is all in the news cycle right now. I think we just ran like 4 or 5 videos over the last week and a half or two on IGN itself on God of War Ragnarok. And like, Skyrim, nobody's talking about it other than that they're like tired of it coming out again on another console. It's like Grand Theft Auto 5. Everybody's like, they can't keep just releasing the same goddamn game again. We're tired of seeing this same game. So I think God of War will win it just be out of, if nothing else, out of spite over Skyrim.
God of War isn't even as good as Gears of War. So I don't which I don't even think was on this list. So it's not even the best game with GOW. How could it be the second best game of all time?
That is like one of the worst takes I have ever heard you say. I need somebody to clip that for me because that's about to go viral.
If you can't even be the best game with the GOW, how are you going to be the? I just don't. You've never talked about God of War like one time outside of the podcast to me. Ever have you ever mentioned it? You don't have a tattoo of it. You don't.
I don't have any tattoos.
You don't have a tattoo of it.
I don't have any tattoos yet. But you know what? I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind tattooing some Blades of Chaos or Leviathan Axe.
Okay.
I did name my cat after his Kratos' son. Does that count as being a God of War fan, Corey? Is that enough?
Is your cat a boy?
I do yell boy at my cat nonstop. Literally,
boy.
Yes.
Boy.
The deepest, darkest voice you can
get.
Okay. We're just not going to see eye to eye here. And I think we'll see in this round when Skyrim smites it to the ground, as it should. But
just
Kyle,
remember your last choice for, Overwatch got decimated.
We are but two humble voices. Wow.
History repeats itself, sir.
Okay. You want to go there? You're going to go there. Okay.
Thank you for the clip.
We are but two humble voices on this show. There are two other people here who also have amazing opinions. Kyle, which one's going to win, Skyrim or God of War?
Choose wisely.
I have a feeling God of War is going to win.
Okay, we have one other person on this show that has good takes. Lexi, what do you think? Go ahead, Kyle. Waste our time.
I've played infinitely more Skyrim than I have God of War. I started playing right before I moved, and then I have yet to like turn on my PlayStation since then because it's a pain in the ass technologically for me because it hooked up to my whatever. And so I want to finish playing it. I think I might end up switching to like easy mode just because I want to enjoy the story and not like the controls are a bit funky for me. Because I don't play consoles much.
You're talking about
God of War. But Skyrim is such a, like, I don't know. It's just, the things about it, I think, live on more. In the same way that GTA has the things that, like, live on. Like, the arrow in the knee thing. You can still say that and people, like, angrily grovel at you. And, just the oh, you're finally awake. Like, there's just so many of those, like, certain moments and elements that just kind of live on with you. And I think that, like, obviously they have not done it justice since then by re-releasing it over and over and over without, like, significant meaningful additions to it. So I think they are fatiguing the crowd on it, which is definitely not going to help their case. I think Skyrim probably deserves it more, but I think they have shot themselves in the foot. I think God of War is going to take it.
Lexi, where you at?
So, though I love Skyrim to take it because it is very cinematic, very beautiful, and like has, like how Kyle said, they're on the like different memes people just love. I think that God of War is going to take it. Corey, I'm for Skyrim, though, but I think God of War is going to take it.
I like Skyrim. Skyrim is, it's like that universal enjoyment. It's the vanilla of ice creams. But when you want some really good flavor, something that takes you the extra mile.
You want some Cherry Garcia.
Yes, you go with the God of War. Those, the people who have those higher tastes. When you want that tiramisu, you get the God of War. You don't get the vanilla ice cream in a bowl. Okay. You know what I mean? And that's what Skyrim is.
I think definitely Skyrim is not vanilla. Vanilla ice cream is a staple. Every store in America carries it. Because there's a reason why.
They also carry Skyrim,
too. Yeah, where can you not get Skyrim? What console does not carry Skyrim?
Because it's that iconic. It's top four. This is that's it. God of War is limited to a smaller audience of PlayStation fans. Let's go to the next one. I can't wait to see this one get its ass kicked, but it will, and we'll move on to the next one. Next one, another Clash of the Titans. I think this is the game that's going to win the whole thing, Minecraft versus The Witcher 3. Minecraft, to get here, had to beat Bioshock, which beat Overwatch. So in a way, Overwatch is still in it. That's how I like to view it, through Minecraft. So if Minecraft win, it's kind of like Overwatch won. Anyways, the other one is going against is the...
Wait. Wouldn't it be a win for Overwatch if Bioshock was moving forward because Bioshock took you out?
The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt beat Doom to get there, which is wild. Doom beat Inside.
You know which Doom it was?
It is the original, like 93 or something like that, I think is which Doom that was.
It spanked Doom. It beat it bad, 76%. I don't like that. You don't like that Doom lost?
No, I'm okay with Doom losing, because The Witcher's an amazing game, but like, come on, we don't have any more... it should be a lot closer, I think. Like, people need to put some respect on the name of the original Doom. Like, that was such a, like, maybe people just forgot. Like, I think I was maybe zero when that game came out.
I think so, too.
But I still respect the hell out of that game, because it's such a massive, like, if we're talking about games that, like, change the cultural landscape of the way 100%. Games are made, and it rated the genre, I think, for the most part.
And if we're talking even about, like, to big screen transitions, like, that Doom movie is so much better than this Witcher Netflix series. You can't even compare The Rock.
Okay. Alrighty, bud.
Somebody clip that one, too, because we're blowing Corey up today.
It had, The Rock.
Corey's content at the heart.
You can't compete with The Rock. Anyways, what do you think is going to happen? I think Minecraft is going to win the whole thing. Seriously, I'm not even trolling. I think Minecraft has been around many, many, many years. I think it's crossed the generations to where OGs who were, you know, playing vanilla, you know, grew up and raised their kids on it. And it's still, you know, if you go to any store, you can buy creeper, you know, pajamas and stuffed animals.
Diamond pickaxes.
You're going to go out on Halloween and see shitload of Steves and stuff out there running around. I think culturally, creatively, in every way, Minecraft is probably going to win the whole thing. That said, I think Witcher is fine. I was just kidding, everybody. Calm down. The Netflix series is fire. I can't wait for season two. But Minecraft, it's fucking Minecraft.
In the same way that it's fun to hate on Fortnite because, lol, Fortnite children's game, I think people may vote in the same way because, whereas we all played Minecraft, anyone who says, oh, I never played Minecraft, you were a fucking liar. We've all played
hours. 6 hours across like five sessions.
But it's such a like cultural, like it's so ingrained into all of us that I think for that reason it's so popular. People want to hate the popular, you know, team. People want to, you know, hate on whoever's the most, you know, people want to hate LeBron. People want to hate the, you know, Lakers, whatever. That same way you want to hate whoever's the most famous, the most big at the time. I think there will be lots of spite votes, and I think the witch will actually win. But I think it will be an absolute steal if that happens, and I think it is categorically, fundamentally a wrong pick if The Witcher wins. The Witcher is a phenomenal game, one of the best written games, best characters, best story, but Minecraft just did so much more for everyone.
I agree. That Minecraft, you know, there's been so many, like, hey, I built this world in Minecraft. I built, you know, the Taj Mahal in Minecraft. Like, I built all these crazy real things. Like, I'm not a huge Minecraft fan, but I respect it for what it is and what it's done for the gaming culture and how it's given a place for a lot of younger kids to kind of, like, start building those roots in gaming. But I agree with Kyle's point. I think it's going to be, there's going to be some spite votes against Minecraft, but also looking at the list of games and that have been winning on both sides of the bracket, these like newer games or games at targeted the younger audience are losing. You know, I think Minecraft is beating BioShock because it was more of a name brand than BioShock. But I think when it comes to Witcher and Minecraft, I think The Witcher is more in line with the age range that is out there voting regularly on social media, as opposed to Minecraft.
Mm. Okay. Let's move on. Next one. The last...
Lexi, did you have a opinion?
Oh, did I miss Lexi?
No, I mean, I like The Witcher and Minecraft, but I feel like just because of the Netflix show and stuff that Witcher probably will... get the vote just because it's more prominent in the media, but that's just me.
Good call. Hey, we'll see. This one will tell me a lot about the whole integrity of this list. Put it this way, if mine loses, I think the ballots were rigged. I think we should change to in-person voting because it just proves you can't vote remotely. It's just...
Oh my God.
A lot of things I want, like I could say as a joke, but it's gonna get way too topical. So let's
move forward.
Let's just let that go. Hey, how about The Last of Us?
How about The Last of Us versus Grand Theft Auto 5? Last of Us to get its spot beat Super Smash Bros. Ultimate as well as Metal Gear. Beating Ultimate, I don't think was too big of a feather in the cap. I think this game deserves to be as far as it is. Grand Theft Auto to get here had to beat Halo 2. Which hurts my heart, especially by how bad it beat it.
That's sad.
It stomped Halo 2 28-72%, and then also beat Uncharted 2 at the same, roughly the same margin. It beat Uncharted 2 even harder. So I think Grand Theft Auto, just based off of how massive the game still is to this day, is going to beat The Last of Us, but I don't think The Last of Us should feel bad about itself. It did about as good as it should have expected. What do you guys think?
Agree with that. I think, you know, based on Grand Theft Auto's voting, you know, it's the vanilla, but it's like a French vanilla ice cream.
Are you hungry? Like, what's going
on?
I'm always hungry.
But yeah, no, I think Grand Theft Auto 5 is going to take it. I want Last of Us to win. That's where I would put my vote, because it was also one of those landmark games for an entire console generation during the PS3 era. But I think Grand Theft's going to take it just based on a bigger fan base.
Lexi, where you at on this one?
Grand Theft Auto, for sure.
I feel you. Kyle?
It's tricky, because I think both games were, like, equally as phenomenal in terms of narrative, but I think also GTA has done so much more for the, like, sandbox nature of it, and...
The online.
I don't know. I think if you're, like, you know, all sitting around drinking your wine and talking with, you know, with your smoking jackets on, Last of Us is, like, the higher quality game of, like... The I don't know if you're, I guess, some fancy pretentious award.
It
show,
did
like,
more
it
for you. You
can
make the case it did more for humanity. It did, you know, it told a better message. Yeah.
It's in the same way that like Scorsese talked about Marvel films being amusement parks. Yeah. GTA is the amusement park game, whereas like Last of Us is the, you know,
the masterpiece.
Yeah, like that's your Godfather as opposed to your, you know, Terminator.
Got it.
I guess
that's a good analogy.
But I think GTA wins. Yeah. I think Last of Us deserves it maybe a bit more, but I think GTA wins.
I remember GTA 5's launch day. I remember like not being able to find the game, having to go to like some Target that was way out of my way to get. And I remember driving home that day and seeing the reflection of the sun down in everybody else's car with that green glow from the Xbox up on their faces. Everybody's car had the same thing. Like it was a cultural moment, and it broke all kinds of records, beating movie box office stuff. And back when that wasn't happening all the time,
game of all time, I think.
Yeah, I think the amusement park, the Marvel, the Avengers is just always gonna, you know, beat Casablanca. I'm sorry. The next one, Batman Arkham City beat Pokemon Yellow and Mario 64. I don't know what the hell's happening.
I need to go back and play this game. I own it and I have not finished it yet. And I need to I can't remember what was so good about this game. Apparently it's amazing.
It is.
Because Pokemon Yellow literally spawned one of the most, I think that was the first game, was it not? Or was it the third?
Third.
It was the trio game, because it was blue, right, red, okay. It came out, and then yellow. Like a year and a half to 2 years later, yellow dropped.
And the literal only change is that Pikachu follows you.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
But like, I don't know, dude. I can't.
Go ahead, Kyle. Sorry.
I was just like, I don't remember it being that good. Maybe it is. Maybe I'm just confused. Maybe people are like, really, really have great memories of. But I didn't think it was that good.
I have to ask, like, is this the Batman phenomenon? Is it just Batman votes, you know, versus Pokemon fans? Like, is it literally that?
I think it might be the spite vote still with, like, everyone, I hate Pokemon. You guys hate Pokemon. I hate Pokemon. Pokemon sucks. Like, why? Why do you hate Pokemon? Because it's famous?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I remember playing through Arkham City, and Arkham City was great. It was one of the better open-world games that came out during the PS3 generation. And it expanded on everything that Asylum had done, and Asylum was like a near perfect game in my opinion at the time when it came out. Like, I remember I got Asylum. I was at my ex's house. I played it on her console, went home, started over, played it on my console because I was playing it on, I think, PlayStation on mine and Xbox on hers. But I loved Asylum so much. And I think that, if I remember right, during that Asylum time, Corey, like, I think that was back in our GameStop days. Wasn't there a kid that would come into the shop and, like, was literally, like, just working his way through Asylum? Because we had the full game in the kiosk. And we had this kid working his way through it. And we would wipe the kiosk every week. But he would come back every week and just restart. And he would make it further and further every day because he had everything just memorized.
Perfecting the speed run?
Yes. He was literally speedrunning Arkham Asylum on our console kiosk. It was crazy.
I'm trying to check my achievement history, but I do believe that I 100%ed that game. And I don't, I'm not a completionist by any means, but it was so fun. Like, the city was big, felt big, but you were able to navigate it quickly through, like, just the grapple and the floating and everything.
I'm 23% achievement.
There was just a lot of good stuff in that game. I will even say I liked Asylum, but Arkham City blew the doors off that one.
Yep, I agree.
So I'm glad it's where it is. I don't know if it deserved to beat Pokemon Yellow. And then it's going up against Dark Souls right now. And Dark Souls, to beat there, beat Rise of the Tomb Raider and Shadow of the Colossus. It's seeded higher, Dark Souls is. I think by just what it had to beat to get there. Again, I'm going for Batman Arkham City. I prefer that type of game. So I can't get behind the Dark Souls thing. What do you guys think?
I'm voting on Dark Souls just because it created a whole genre. Like, yeah. all the Souls-like, Rogue-like kind of drew a lot of inspiration from the Souls series. I think Dark Souls is going to take the win.
Deathloop took at least two different gameplay parts of Dark Souls and put it almost directly into their game.
Yep. 100%.
I could point and draw that line. here, and then it's just...
Yeah. That said, though, there are more Batman fans in the world than there are Dark Souls fans, so if people vote off just the name Batman, Batman could take it. But I'm hoping Dark Souls wins, but I think Batman is going to take it just based on Batman fans.
I think for a similar reason as Jada. Like, I think Dark Souls is the bigger game, and I think Dark Souls did more, obviously, change the landscape again. Like, it's kind of my go-to criteria. Arkham City definitely perfected the genre that it was, like, that the Arkham series, you know? Definitely was the peak of that, I think. But I think Dark Souls just is a bigger legacy. And if Batman Arkham City wins, I think it is because of the name. It's just the Batman
vote. I agree as well. Yeah, right. I agree with that.
So let's get on to the last two before we wrap this bad boy up, and then we should have updates for next week's show to really figure out what's happening here, what the best video game of all time is. This next one is Titanfall 2 versus Bloodborne. Titanfall 2 just beat Apex Legends. I'm at a loss for words. Jada, you must have access to the ballots, and you're just changing votes, because only people that ever play this game in the latest century are you and T-Pain.
T-Pain. The day, you know, we've got me and T-Pain.
That's
got
a good list, you know.
Yeah, me and T-Pain, we've got that refined taste, you know.
Like, the day after we published this episode, T-Pain heard the episode and also agreed with Jada and put out a tweet that said, like, why did they take down the Titanfall 2 servers? Blew my mind. Out of nowhere, he had to have been listening.
Hey. I mean, I'm just influential, I guess. You know, T-Pain, hit me up. Let's do some co-stream. Let's stream some Titanfall 2 together.
Let's get
DDoS together.
This game should not have beat Apex. It should not have beat Apex.
I agree based on just like recency bias, but Titanfall 2 is overall the better package compared to Apex, I would say.
What?
Nobody
played it.
Everybody played
the campaign. Nobody played this campaign.
It's one of the best campaigns.
T-Pain.
If you have not played the Titanfall 2 campaign, I'm talking to everybody who ever sees this podcast. Oh, I don't care if it's 20 years in the future and you're digging up.
I will finish it, Jada.
Of VGB. You need to go and play Titanfall 2's campaign. There are like at least 4 out of the like, I think 13 stages, 9 or 13 chapters, that are some of the best moments and mechanics and gameplay that have ever been put in a single player FPS game.
There is one level, and I think it's fine to like semi spoil, because I actually haven't even played it. I just know of it as a game development study piece.
Mm-hmm.
The one where you go, like, you're doing this back in time, forward in time, playing two different time periods at the same time, I think is on par with the Clockwork Mansion from
Dishonored 2,
of like some of the most innovative and creative level design and development that I think exists currently in the world of games. And I think for that, it deserves a bunch. But I think in the same way, I'm trying to think of like what other mediums are like that, where it's just like, not everyone has heard it or played it, but those who have are like, swear that is the greatest thing ever. And Jada and T-Pain. It just didn't get enough people behind it. It just was not marketed well. It just didn't do well at all.
And that's a whole nother story, because EA
killed the whole trilogy base, or the whole series.
EA released it after Battlefield, like I think 1 or 2 weeks after Battlefield that year, and then a week before Call of Duty. It had no chance at surviving in the holiday market when going up against Battlefield and Call of Duty, when they were at their pinnacle of sales moments, when Call of Duty and Battlefield were like neck and neck, like what's going to be better this year? Like, I mean, that's the battle every year, but like both were arguably at the top of their game at that time. Titanfall came out with a breath of fresh air, but the problem is it was a smaller name, and so like it got left behind. And so, but yeah, Titanfall 2.
I can't get behind the logic. If it truly is top 8, top 4, top 2, if it's this far in the bracket, you can't give me that. Oh, it came out between these two mediocre games. It should have been able to surpass those based off of its merits alone if this game was like, truly that. How come nobody in here has a tattoo of Titanfall?
Corey,
like,
Corey.
I've got a Titan statue. I got a Titan statue. Your dog is name's BD.
If this game wasn't $30 on Steam, I'd get it. If this game drops down, I'll wait for the next Steam sale. When it hits $14.99, I'll get this game, and then we'll see what's really
going on. It goes
on
sale quite often. I picked it up for like $15. But my point is that like the better games do not win in this. The better movies do not win in this. It is not that the way that the world works. It's obvious, like, it's always so much about marketing and what types of games people see the most, and that is the reason why people have such a strong attraction and motivation behind this game, is because it's so good, but it just did not receive the same amount of love. It was not the favorite child, and it shows, and no matter how good of a grade it gets, the child actor will always pull ahead over the A student in this particular case.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, it's going against Bloodborne, which beat Tetris, which we can do I can go an hour on how this no way that Bloodborne should beat Tetris. Tetris I thought was going to be top 4. Should probably deserves top 1 if that's a thing, but whatever. Bloodborne did it. It's in the spot. Do you think Titanfall beats Bloodborne?
This is actually a really good battle because they're both kind of those nicher audiences.
They're very, yeah.
So this is actually probably my most like interested matchup of this entire thing, more so than the Skyrim and God of War. Like, I'm more interested, mostly because I know God of War is going to win, but I'm more interested in this one because of the type of audiences that are both following these. Like, Bloodborne, it's another Souls game. I think
it's really nice world, and it's not, what is it majorly different from Dark Souls?
You don't really get a shield and you get guns, and that's kind of the thing. So maybe, you know, it's like, maybe it's the whole shadow and his gun thing, you know?
I think it was Dark Souls 2 to Bloodborne, right? In terms of the ordering. Three, then Bloodborne. But like, regardless,
three,
like, the
then,
amount
three and then Bloodborne.
The
yeah.
step between Dark Souls 3 and Bloodborne was not the same step as Titanfall 1 to Titanfall 2.
I agree.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Titanfall takes it. I think it's just got a more fervent fan base. Granted, you know, like, there's a lot of people that are in chats that are always asking for Bloodborne news. This could go either way. I think this is gonna be another razor thin one.
Lexi, what do you think?
Sorry, my dog was barking. I don't really know about these, so I don't have like
fair enough. Yeah.
on these, so.
Well, I know you've played one of these last two. We'll just go through the final one right now. Super Mario Bros. 3, which after replaying the first three Mario Brothers, definitely was probably the most fun for me personally. I liked it. The different types of the frog guy was just fun. The raccoon thing was fun. All the little secrets and stuff. I loved it. Versus Breath of the Wild. And this is the one Jada went pretty hard on, saying it does not deserve a spot to beat the games that it has to got to where it is now. It was a fluke. There's no way that it should have beat Final Fantasy VII. Yet, here it is. It also beat Resident Evil 4 to come up against Super Mario Bros. 3. Nostalgia versus the current iteration of Zelda. Jada, how did we get here and who's winning?
Lexi, you go first on this one because I still have to compose my thoughts on this video essay that I'm going to be posting on the internet.
So... I'm going for Super Mario just because, again, nostalgia. Everybody knows, everybody loves playing that game. I don't know why. First of all, I didn't know that it beat Final Fantasy VII, which I also like to play. So I'm like, how did that happen? But that's a whole nother conversation. But yeah, I'll go with Super Mario on this one.
Kyle, the winner.
It's tricky because I was not alive for the first lots of time that Super Mario Bros. 3 even existed. I never played the game. It's way before my time. Obviously, like, the first one is such a massive success, but like I couldn't tell what was better about 3. So I'm not the person to ask for this. I don't like Breath of the Wild. I didn't enjoy it, but I know it better. I've played more hours of it. It has massive flaws, but it's also really nice. It's a good game in a lot of ways. Like, I think my major flaws are gameplay based and in terms of the music and the world building, I think was one of the phenomenal things about Breath of the Wild. Like, the ambiance of it, I think, is next level. But it's so impossible to compare these two, I think. Like, maybe in terms of how, like, again, how they changed the landscape of games. I don't think either of them massively did, honestly.
Hmm.
I agree. I would say that Breath of the Wild changed the landscape in terms of world design. Because you notice there's a lot of games that came out after Breath of the Wild that did the kind of, like, hey, just climb to this highest point and, like, find stuff. There's not icons on the map everywhere. You just, you're like, hey, there's smoke over there. I should go look at that. Or this is really tall.
I think they stole that from Assassin's Creed and,
That element definitely has been stolen from Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, pretty much any Ubisoft game that you play.
Right.
But I think the way that they took it and refined it is what has changed the landscape of it, because you look at games like Ghost of Tsushima, did the same thing, where when you get up to these, you know, you climb up these mountains and you look around and there's not a million quest markers like, oh, you know, I need to go grab sheep over here or kill this one dude over here. It's just like you see like plumes of smoke, you see like, you know, little villages and stuff like that, and you're like, oh, I should go look at these things. Or there's a giant statue over here. You look at this and it fills you with curiosity and you want to go and explore and see what that is. So I think that's where I think that's pretty much the only thing that Breath of the Wild really brought to the table in terms of being an amazing game. Super Mario 3, I mean, it's, you got Tanuki Mario. You know, the Tanuki suit is so iconic for Mario. Everybody loves the being able to turn into a Tanuki and, you know, turn into stone and crush Goombas. Like, you could fly. It was the first Mario where you could fly, if I remember correctly.
The frog suit made the underwater levels playable.
Yep, exactly, 100%. Like, I want Super Mario 3. I think Super Mario 3 is a better... I think Super Mario 3 is where Nintendo hit the stride and understood what it meant to be a Mario platforming game. Because 1 came out and was like, okay, cool, this is Mario. We get it. We get the idea. Then they came out with 2 and just completely botched it.
2 wasn't even a Mario game. It was a skinned game from some...
Yeah.
It was already another game that wasn't even related to the Mario franchise, yeah.
Exactly. And then they did 3, and 3 just... nailed it perfectly. They added the warp whistles, they added like the map that we could, you know, choose the levels, they added actual, like, not co-op, but like two-player mode that was actually a decent two-player mode where you could compete with your friends or siblings. I think Super Mario 3 should win this, but I know recency bias is going to kick in and Breath of the Wild is going to win, so it's going to take Titanfall 2 to take it down. It's up to Titanfall 2 to take down Breath of the Wild.
And they're all going to lose to Minecraft anyways. I don't even know what the point is. Minecraft is the perfect game. It can't be beat.
If Titanfall 2 and Minecraft go up in the finals, and Titanfall 2 manages to somehow miraculously win...
it's rigged.
Will you buy it full price?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm so confident it won't happen that I will do that.
Okay. It is now etched in stone.
Yeah. Yep. We'll find out on episode 600, part 3, coming up next week when we get some of these more recent polls updated and we figure this thing out once and for all. What is the best video game of all time? Jada, tell us what people can do if they want to keep up with all your awesome projects and see what's up with you.
Just keep it tuned to IGN. You know, I'm there in the comments section talking every day. I'm going to be posting a blog in the coming week or two with my schedule, basically my office hours for the community. So if you want to talk to me, you'll know where to find me. I'll be across all the social media platforms. For the most part, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Discord, as well as our forums and boards. And as always, on Twitter, Jada_Rina, R-I-N-A for Rina.
Nice, nice, nice. Lexi, where can people keep up with your happenings? And more importantly, vote for you in the Game Her Awards.
Sure, so you guys can follow me on Twitter, LexiJPR. And if you want to nominate or vote for my nomination, you can head over to the Game Hers website. I also put out a tweet on my personal channel that emphasizes what categories you can vote in. So yeah, I would appreciate it again. And yeah, hit me up on Twitter.
Kyle, the winner, your turn, man. What can people keep up? What's new in the world of harmonics? Did you get that Hall & Oates update yet?
I mean, we did add Hall & Oates a couple weeks back, so that's cool.
Private Eyes?
Months back. No, this was, I think we already had Private Eyes, but we had added Rich Girl a couple
months back, okay. Actually. That's good a good one. That's a good one. I need to see I Can't Go For That ASAP. We're going to need Your Kiss Is On My List added here pretty soon. Let's just get a full expansion.
I'll throw all those on my list.
Just like in the old days when they would do Rock Band Beatles. Like, let's do that again. Rock Band
Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates. Rock Band Smash Mouth. Rock Band Seether. Like, make it happen.
Rock Band Puddle of Mud.
Puddle of Mud. Yeah, exactly. Now you get it. Thank you.
Yeah, Kyle the Winner on Twitter. I really only use Twitter and Discord primarily as my routes, but obviously follow Harmonix and Rock Band on socials, and we're still every single week two new pieces of DLC. So we have if you can't find music that you like, I don't know how to help you, but maybe you've got another problem to worry about. But we always have cool stuff coming. Obviously, like, when new stuff comes out, I'll make sure to blast the heck out of it on all social media. So be watching.
And then for myself, video game bang on Twitter. If you want to see what's going on with all of us, we go on there and kind of amplify everybody's. So it's like the hub. If you care about a particular member, you can go there, follow, see all of our accounts in one easy spot. And then my personal one at @energy_Corey. This week we have the Overwatch League Grand Finals. My team is out in Hawaii right now preparing for a match going on Tuesday versus the Shanghai Dragons. It's just so crazy. It's a great time to be an esports fan. The Dragons called us out, the two-time champions. They could have picked anybody to go against in the first round, but they chose us for personal vendetta reasons. That's a recipe for just amazing storylines in esports. So no matter who you think is going to win, you love to see it. They didn't go with the easy route. They went with the team they wanted to beat, and we are more than excited to take them down. So check it out this week on YouTube. You can follow the Overwatch League's channel. You can follow us on Twitter at SFShock, TikTok, everywhere at SFShock. We're going to be watching it very closely and trying to bring home a third ring for Papa, because I got two and now I need one more. I want to be the three times. So check that out. Support your boy. We appreciate you. Episode 600 part 3 coming up soon. For Jada, Kyle, Lexi, my name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.